Good morning. Before I say my sermon remarks and speak about Mother's Day, let me say a word about the El Salvador contribution. And we're thankful for everyone who gave generously for that, and we look forward to finding the total. I was also asked to clarify one thing, too. We also have the opportunity to have an auction this year for missions, and it involves you giving any personal property you have that you might would give normally to like Kevel or Goodwill or something like that. You can give it to the church, and you can take that off your taxes or whatever, and that will be auctioned off on Tuesday night, the first Tuesday in June, I believe. And so it's, Bolton says property, that's the idea, personal property. It's not like a bake sale or things like that, but it's items that you have that you would like to give and have sold, and the amount will go toward the El Salvador Mission Project. If you have questions about that, you can talk to Joel. He's organizing and helping in that project. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to say a special Happy Mother's Day to my wife, Amanda, and I'm glad that she's feeling better and our family's better and she's able to be back with us. And today at worship, and also my mother-in-law is here. Happy Mother's Day to her and to my mom, who will be coming over later today and be with us tonight. Also like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here worshiping with us today. It's a special day, and I hope that it's a blessed day for you. 1 Samuel chapter 1 there that Barry read for us spoke of the idea of Hannah dedicating or lending her son Samuel back to the Lord, whom the Lord had given her, she gave back to him. She lent him, or she dedicated him to the Lord. What does it look like, the mother who dedicates her child to the Lord? That is the motherhood that's worth honoring. This morning we're going to note three examples of mothers. Maybe some examples that we would typically think of, like Mary. And maybe some that we may not think of, like Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. And Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. We're going to notice these three mothers. We're going to notice how each of them represent a characteristic that is worthy of honor. And what we're going to do is invite all of our mothers here today to be this kind of mother, a mother that's worthy of honor. And we're also going to reflect, all of us men and children, reflect upon the qualities in our own mothers and in those who we think of who are godly women, that represent these characteristics and these traits that show that they are worthy of honor. The first lady I want us to look at is the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, Jochebed. In Exodus chapter 2, you are familiar with the story where Pharaoh is fearing the growth of the Hebrew people. And so he requires that all male children be put to death. We read in Exodus chapter 2 about a mother who did not want to obey the law of the king, but rather chose to submit to the higher king, the god of this world. And she refused to put her child to death. She will make an ark of the bulrushes, and we'll put that together, and we'll put him a sail in a little river there. And of course, Miriam, his sister, will be watching him. And of course, you know the story about the daughter of Pharaoh discovering Moses and how Jochebed, his mother, will actually be able to be a nurse to him and will help him grow up in the palace of Pharaoh. What's special about Jochebed? In the book of Hebrews, speaking about Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They chose rather to submit to God rather than submit to the king." We need to honor mothers today who will stand against the intimidation of the world. Jochebed represents the kind of mother who says, "I'm not going to allow myself and I'm not going to allow my children to go with the way the world goes. That being normal is not what it's all about. That being normal often means being lost. And I don't want my children to be lost. So I'm going to teach my children that we have to be distinctive. We have to be unique. We have to be Christians in this world." Jochebed was willing to stand up, even in the face of persecution, Even in the face of risking likely her own life, she stood up because she would not go along with the tide of this world. Mothers who help their daughters understand that we don't show our bodies, but we rather are modest and chaste. We can't watch certain movies. Mothers who teach their children about entertainment choices and proper things regarding that. Mothers who value their role in the home. You see, Jochebed was a mother who taught her son that he is different. Later on in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We understand that Moses, when he was a little older, goes out, and when he sees one of his Hebrew kinsmen being afflicted, that he will actually rise and kill a person, and then that will cause him to have to flee. And Hebrew writer says that Moses thought that he was going to provide deliverance for his people at that time. Moses had an identity. Mothers, give your children an identity in Christ. Help them to know that they are a member of Christ's body. Help them to know that they are special, unique, and that they have a purpose in this world. Give them an identity in Jesus, an identity of being special and unique and created by God, an identity of where they know who their values are, what their values are, and they don't compromise their values just to please everyone else. You see, mothers who are worthy of honor are mothers like Jochebed who stand against the world. They stand against the world and the treatment of this world. They give their children an identity. Where did this come from? Where did Moses' identity come from that caused him to know he was a Hebrew? He grew up in Pharaoh's house, but he knew he was a Hebrew. I think we must assume it came from the teachings of his mother. We honor mothers like Jochebed who stand against the world. But then we also honor mothers like Bathsheba. Bathsheba may not be the most commonly preached lady on Mother's Day today. You might not even think of her as a mother that we would even mention on Mother's Day. But I think there's some strong characteristics we can develop from Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. When you think about her story, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you realize that she was out bathing on a rooftop, and we can understand there might have been some cultural issues there, but it doesn't seem like it was probably the best decision to be made. She was out bathing, and of course David looks at her and invites her to his palace, and her husband is away at battle, and she is going to be involved in a relationship with David. This will lead to the conception of a child. And of course David is going to allow this deception and this sin to get even deeper, as David will call her husband Uriah home and try to make it look like Uriah was the father. But Uriah, because he is an honorable man, feels bad basically to be away at home with his wife when the army is out. And so he doesn't go into his wife. And David even intoxicates him, and it still doesn't work. And so David sends him back to battle. And David tells the commander basically to pull away and allow him to be put to death. And Uriah dies. And Bathsheba, after a period of mourning, comes into David's home and is taken in as one of his wives. What do we learn about motherhood from Bathsheba? When you think about her past, we realize that oftentimes mothers come into motherhood with a past. And what do you do about maybe the things in your past that you're not proud of? Maybe the things that you're shamed of or ashamed of? You see, it might be some mistakes that we made. It might be some wild living. It might be even a relationship or a child born early to cause you to become a mother outside of the bonds of marriage. How do you handle that? Too many respond with guilt. Too many respond with carelessness. Well, I just don't care. It doesn't matter. Too many might respond with being hard-hearted or blaming others. Well, I'm going to blame other people for my mistakes.
Bathsheba is a great example of a mother who's worthy to be honored because she did not allow her past to define her, but she is going to live in the grace of God. You see, the best thing you can do is to admit your mistakes and to live in the forgiveness and the grace that God offers. It's not something that should be rationalized or justified. And it's not something that should ever give a way of glorifying a past that was sinful. But it is something that should be said, I've sinned, I've made some mistakes, but I've learned from them. And I would never want you to walk in them, but God forgives me of them. I think about Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. You see, this is part of what should make all of us good parents, in that none of us can be perfect parents. And the quicker we realize that, the better off I think we'll be. Show your children what it is to be a forgiven parent who has been given a new life in Christ. Show your children what it's like to have to make sacrifices for Jesus. Show your children what it's like to change and not walk in a past sinful lifestyle. What is interesting about Bathsheba is that she would go on to have another child named Solomon. And of course, Solomon is going to have a very glorious beginning and do a lot of good things. He has some problems toward the end of his life because he's going to be influenced by many pagan women. But Solomon had a lot of godly characteristics for much of his life and does much good, like building the temple and things. She is going to move past many of her sins and help raise Solomon. And it is not necessarily certain, but it's a strong possibility that Bathsheba is the one who authored Proverbs 31. And of course, all the ladies know Proverbs 31, a passage that's often studied about the virtuous woman. And in that passage, we have Bathsheba giving some advice to her son. And in this, it's the idea, because if Solomon is the one who's authoring it, he's talking about what his mother taught him, then it would be Bathsheba, and so that's the idea. And he tells the advice that his mother had given him. For example, things like verse 3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. And you can think about an aged Bathsheba, reflecting back upon her past, some of the mistakes that she made, and then advising the next generation of men. Don't make the same mistake that I was involved in and that your father David was involved in. She talks in verse 6 and 7 about strong drink, and verse 8, excuse me, about how you use your mouth. And then about verse 6 or verse 10, she talks about an excellent wife, and that's when we move into the passage about the virtuous wife. Because of time, I won't read that whole passage, but it's a beautiful passage about what a virtuous woman is. Now think about in the context of Bathsheba giving this advice and saying these things. You see, we learn from Bathsheba that we honor mothers who live in the grace of God, who have learned from their mistakes, have been forgiven of their mistakes, and then who advise and counsel others not to walk in the same mistakes, but to serve God. The final mother I want us to notice is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Excuse me. In this story, of course, there's a lot that could be said about Mary and whole lessons, but I want us to note Luke chapter 1, and Ronnie alluded to Mary and spoke to her as well. And in Mary, I want to pull out one characteristic of how she's worthy to be honored. In verses 35 and following, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, said the angel, and the power of the Most High will overpower you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The thing I want us to notice from Mary
is imagine what it would be like to be in her situation. A young teenage girl in a very traditional, strongly Jewish family, small town, Bethlehem. And now she's pregnant.
She's engaged, we might say, betrothed is a true term to Joseph, which is really a stronger term than engagement, but yet they haven't yet become married. So she's not supposed to have an intimate relationship yet. And now she's pregnant. You think about the pressure that put upon her. You think about the difficult circumstance that put her in. And the angel saying, this is what's going to happen. Not only that, but think about I remember the first time as a father you walk out carrying the baby, you feel so much responsibility. Now think about an angel telling you, this is the child you're going to have as a young girl. Think about the responsibility. What do you do when you're in a difficult circumstance?
You see, we honor mothers. Who trust God in obedience. They trust God when they're having problems in their marriage. They trust God when they are having trouble financially. They trust God when they're struggling with all the strains and the challenges of raising children. They trust God when they have questions involving faith and doubt. They trust God no matter what situation they're in. You see, Mary is a great example of someone who chose to do what is right and to put her hope and her faith and her trust in God when she was in a difficult predicament. A mother is going to do what is right and do this based upon what's best for me and what God would have them do. That is something a child should always know, that my mother wants to obey God more than anything else. You see, we honor mothers who trust God in obedience.
Happy Mother's Day today. This Mother's Day, we honor mothers. Mothers who, like Jochebed, stand against the world. Mothers who, like Bathsheba, live in the grace of God. And mothers like Mary, who trust God in obedience.
They want to obey God. Though they may not understand and be able to see it all, they obey out of faith. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, if you need to respond, we would do anything we can to help you get your life right with God. Maybe you're a mother and you want to make sure you're living the kind of example you need to live for Christ and for your children. If we can assist you, baptistry is ready if you need to put Christ on in baptism. Or if you need to rededicate, we'll be happy to pray with you and for you. Come as together we stand and sing.